Blog Talk Radio.
My
soul says yes. You know, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. For this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. For I will bless the Lord at all time, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And this is my favorite part. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and exalt, and let us exalt his name together. My brothers, my sisters, I thank God for you tonight. I thank God for being here tonight, for this is the warfare hour. We are coming to you live from the city of glory, known as the city of Gary, Indiana, coming to you from the Living Way Christian Center, 235 West 40th Avenue in the City of Glory, City of Gary, Indiana, where the pastor is none other than Apostle Leonard Emmons, who we thank God for as a father in the ministry, as a father in the faith, in the gospel. We thank God for him, his anointing, and his life, his example. We thank God for him. We thank God that we are coming to you by way of the Kingdom Builders and Kingdom Daughters International, Prophet Teresa Dock, Evangelist Dana Hanna, the prayer intercessors, the prayer warriors who continue to keep us in prayer constantly. We want to thank God for you and your example on this night. We thank God for Apostle Carlton, Earl Clark Richardson, and the Warriors for Christ House of Prayer Church International Ministry. We thank God for his life as a father in the faith, a father in the gospel. And we thank God for his example. We thank God for Evangelist Anthony Mitchell and Word to the World Ministries. We thank God for his example. We thank God for his heart, his passion for Christ. We thank God for the Kingdom Atmosphere Ministry. We thank God for the heart and the mind and the focus of the Kingdom Atmosphere Ministry. We thank God for all of you who have continued to walk with us as we walk with Christ, to follow with us as we follow Christ. We thank God for you tonight. You have the warfare. I am Prophet Corey Graddick. I am the co-pilot tonight. The other co-pilot, because we all know that Jesus is the pilot. He's flying his plane everywhere it goes. But the primary co-pilot on this flight tonight is none other than Apostle Carlton, Earl Clark Richardson. Listen, we got a couple things we need to say to you. If this is your first time listening, we want you to know that we are an army of believers. We are an army of believers. We are the Kingdom Builders and Kingdom Daughters International. We are the Living Way Christian Center. We are Warriors for Christ House of Prayer Church International Ministries. We are Word to the World Ministries. We are Kingdom Atmosphere Ministries. We are an army of believers dedicated to building believers for this body that we call the church. We thank God for you listening tonight. If this is your first time listening, we want to encourage you in a couple of areas. First, we want to encourage you in the understanding that failure is not an option. See, we believe that. We believe that regardless of the fact that you might not see the light at the end of the tunnel, trust me, you don't have to worry about seeing the light at the end of the tunnel because the tunnels don't light up because you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. That's what Jesus called you. That's what you are. Let me encourage you in the fact that failure is not an option because we believe that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We believe that if we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge God, in other words, recognize that he is utmost in our lives. He is first and foremost in our lives. He will lead, guide, and direct our path. We understand that in the fear of the Lord, there is wisdom, for it is the very beginning of wisdom. And wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, we should get that wisdom. And in all of our getting, we get understanding, but not our own understanding, God's understanding. That he would lead, guide, and direct our path. We understand that failure is not an option because the Lord is our shepherd. We don't have a desire. We don't have a need because he shall supply all of our need according to his riches and glory. Failure is not an option. For we believe that we can accomplish all of our goals. We are made overcomers. We are more than conquerors through him who loves us. We're made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Why? Because we have studied to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly or righteously, in right standing with God, understanding that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. And we should righteously divide the word of truth, or righteously gain an understanding of the word of truth. What is the word of truth? The word of God, the Bible. So if we understand that we should walk in relationship with the Father because of the shed blood of the Son and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, there is absolutely no way. It doesn't matter how dark the situation. It doesn't matter how dark the circumstance. It doesn't matter if you don't see victory right away. Failure is not an option. Victory is always imminent because of God before you. Who can be against you? For we were formed and conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Therefore, failure is not an option. Listen, we thank God for you being here. We want to say this. We always like to pray and go into Scripture so that we can continue to encourage you. We want to encourage you in this like manner. There was a couple of things that God has said to us, and we want to tell you one of the things that God has said to us from Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, from the 11th verse to the 14th verse. There was a promise God made to us if we would come into the understanding of his righteousness. He says, "For I know the thoughts and plans." I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts of welfare and peace, and not for evil, but to give you hope in your final outcome. Then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and heed you. Then you will seek me, inquire for, and require me as a vital necessity, and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will release you from captivity and gather you from all the nations and all the places to which I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. So if you feel like you're in a bad situation and you feel like you're in bondage and you feel like, or you're just pretty sure that you're in bondage, understand that God's plan is not for you to be bound up, but for you to be free in Christ. Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, it's for you to be free. And because the enemy has tried to carry you away, and God has allowed the enemy to carry you away because you have not formed that relationship with him, we encourage you, we implore you, if you have not yet forged a relationship in right standing with the Father, we will come to you again with an earnest plea that should be happening. Come on, pray with me. For one moment, pray with me out of Psalms 119 and verse 18. And the prayer says simply, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And that simply means, Father, open my eyes to understand what you understand, to see what you see, to know what you know. Teach me, God, that I may better serve you and that I may better worship you. That's the prayer we pray always before we begin any other prayer and before we begin study, so that God can open your eyes in the spirit so that your mind would be able to comprehend what God wants you to know, that you would be able to walk in the success destined for your life. Now, without further ado, I'm going to close my mouth so that the apostle may speak. I give you Apostle Carlton, Earl Clark Richardson, the man that we affectionately call Dad.
Amen. Bless you, man of God. Good evening to all of you that are waiting in anticipation for what God has for us on today. Thank you so much again for being with us, for spending your time. You could be doing anything, but you've decided that you want to hear something a little different. You want to hear something that's the truth. You want to do some additional learning on top of what you already have learned. You want to share with like-minded folks. You want to hear what you're used to hearing because you've been seeking God in such a manner. And then for the haters that's looking for something to be wrong, we pray that you have all manner of Bibles and other reference materials, for we lean not to our own understanding here at the Warriors for Christ House of Prayer Church International, Incorporated. It is our intention always to do it God's way. Occasionally, if the man gets involved, it's very good to have two to kind of bounce off one another. And we have a wonderful leadership in our Apostle Emmons and as our covering, and the Prophetess Teresa pulls her coattail on occasion, Evangelist Hannah. But the real deal is that somebody, you know, there's a song that says, somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. They took the time to pray for me. And then it says, I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed for me. And that's for all of you intercessors. We pray that there was a little bit of tune in there. we're not too awfully shabby, but occasionally we might go a little to the left or a little to the right. But we do appreciate you. And for those of you that are with us for the first time, God bless you. We pray that we'll be able to say or do something that will make you want to come back. Just as a reminder, if you did call in on the phone, you also can listen to us, to any of the podcasts that we've done. And we've been blessed to be on the air since September of 2011. Hallelujah. We're coming up on 2 years.
Hallelujah.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Today is another milestone for myself. In 1972, I was an 18-year-old lad, and I went into the United States Air Force. And I spent 20 years in that Air Force, and I came out in November of 1992. And tomorrow, just to show you, see, God takes the ordinary and He puts the extra in the ordinary. Tomorrow is 19 years of sobriety. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, see, I did some things as well, see, so I know what I'm talking about sometimes when I go there. When I talk about some drugs and alcohol and being out in the streets and other things that God has has brought us through. And see, I'm no longer, and God bless the AA and the NA folks. They able to use those tools to help folks. But the one thing that I got out of being in those programs was they talk about a higher power. And I'm like, hold up. Because basically atheists and agnostics and anyone that you don't have to have a belief in anything, but you can have a belief in something and still overcome. So the concept was get rid of you and believe in something else and you'll be all right. Well, I say, well, all my life I did grow up in the church. I was blessed to grow up in the church. The only something and somebody that I know about is Jesus. And so I said, you know what? I'm the one that left Jesus or left what I knew to be right, correct. And so I went back to what I knew. And God opened my eyes to some more stuff. So I'm not a grateful recovering anything, men and women of God, but I am delivered.
Hallelujah.
From alcohol, from cigarettes, from drugs. And I promise you, for those of you that are unbelievers, for those of you that are struggling with those things, do not fall for the hype of, oh, it's a whole bunch of people that had 30 years of sobriety and 27 years of sobriety, and they slipped and went back up. No, they purposely decided that that's what they wanted to do, and they did it. I understand weakness. I understand the enemy is very, very strong. But see, when you've been delivered from something, see, my God sits high and looks low. Anyway, what I'm saying is I'm very pleased and very happy that another milestone in my life has occurred. And also in 2007, I got slayed in the spirit on this day on the concrete in front of my house. And the man of God that's sharing this podium or this podcast with me was one of the young men that laid hands on me as we began to look at what God had said with us about the beginning of the ministry of the Warriors for Christ House of Prayer Church International, which we began in November of that same year, 2007. So we've been blessed all the way around. And I'm just happy, y'all. I've run into some friends that I haven't seen for years, and I found out that they also are preaching the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. They're spreading that word. They're saying the same thing that I'm saying. The kingdom of God is at hand. Hallelujah. Bless yourself. Give yourself a hand clap of praise for wanting to spend your time tonight listening to, I won't call myself a fool, but I've done some foolish things. I am a fool for Christ. Hallelujah. God has said that in Matthew's the 16th chapter and the 18th verse, clause C, that the gates of hell should not prevail against it, which is the church. And he also said that he will give unto thee the king, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and that whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So I'm binding the spirit of rejection. I don't know why that ended up being the first thing that the spirit that he gave me to bind. Many of us think that when we hear about the keys to the kingdom, that it's about binding and loosing. But guess what, y'all? There's so many other keys. And if you've been listening to the Warfare Hour for any length of time, you've shared some of those keys that God has given us to share with you. But see, we're great and grateful that we're intercessors, because Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter and verse 30, basically says, "And I saw four men among them that should make up the heads and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." I found none. So what he had to do was manifest himself, give himself an earth suit, come down here and show us how to do it. He had to become the intercessor for us. But he also showed us how to intercede on the behalf of others. And that's why I bless. We really put a lot of emphasis on thanking those that pray for us. Okay, where you going, Apostle? I'm glad you asked. Men and women of God, there's some, if you've been watching the news, there's been some horrible things going on in the news. One of the things that really kind of didn't shake me up or anything, it's just, it was ironic. Early in the week, the Pope arguably to millions and millions of folks, the most religious icon person on the planet. And generally, the things that he says or does impacts millions of folks. This man declared in his infamy that he, being the most supposedly strongest religious person on the planet, could not judge gay folks and their preferences. Don't get me wrong, but I said, what? I said, here's the guy that he was over in, I think it was Brazil, where there was millions of folks that just ran up and just over 3 million people that just thronged him, you know, just couldn't wait to get to him. He's supposed to be the people's pope. And now we know why. See, obviously he ain't standing in the gap. You know, we did just read that, and I saw for a man among them. And my God, my God. There's so many other things, but I immediately went to Psalms 82, and I really want you to go there, because I want the prophet to read this out of the Amplified, because he said he can't judge. Arguably one of the most religious persons on the earth said he can't judge. But what does the Word of God say? What does the Word, that, you know, we challenge so many things. Okay, who am I? I'm a servant of the Almighty God, sent to declare and decree that the kingdom of God is at hand, and the kingdom of God is his word. This is what the kingdom of God's word says concerning judging. Amen?
Amen. The kingdom of God sent out this decree, and we are to inform you of the decree from the kingdom of God. Psalms 82.
I'll break it down, you know.
I'm just going to read the whole thing. I'm going to read the whole thing. God stands in the assembly of the representatives of God, in the midst of the magistrates. I'm sorry, you started already. Okay. Magistrates or judges, he gives judgment as among the gods. How long will you magistrates or judges judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Selah. Which means to pause and calmly think of that. I'm going to give you a couple seconds. Okay. Do justice to the weak, poor, and fatherless. Maintain the rights of the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and the needy. Rescue them out of the hand of the wicked. The magistrates and the judges know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in the darkness of complacent satisfaction. All the foundations of the earth, the fundamental principles upon which rests the administration of justice, my God, are shaking. I said you are gods since you judge on my behalf as my representative. Indeed, all of you are children of the Most High, but you shall die as men and fall as one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for to you belong all the nations. And that's Psalm 82 in the Amplified.
Amen. Just a few key points. We're not going to beleaguer. But we want to bring some things out that we've talked about before, but it's key. It keeps coming back up because people keep doing foolish things. People keep doing what they want to do. I don't care who you are. You are to be accountable for what your words, you are to be accountable for your actions. Here in Psalms 82, God is really talking about some stuff that is dear to his heart. He begins by standing in the assembly. That means he is right there where we are, standing beside us, in front of us, behind us, over us, in us, and through us. Did y'all get that? It says God stands in the assembly. That means he meant what it is he finna say.
Right.
Remember he said, the prophet said that he declared, he stood up. You know how you tell your children, they keep doing something, and then you stand up over them? They know you mean business. See, this God, that's what God means business right here. He gives judgment as among the gods. We are, first of all, right there among the gods because that's who we are. We were made, if you don't believe me, turn to Genesis, the first chapter, verse 26, that God made us in his image and in his likeness. That means he made us as we're not animals, we're not any animal. If he is God, we are in his image and likeness. It implies that we are little gods. That's the implication just from Genesis 1 to 26. Verse 2 says, how long will you, now he's talking to us, magistrate or judges, judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Selah, excuse me. He's not talking about us. He's talking about the judges that we have given authority over to. Let me go back and say that again. We have allowed the worldly judges
to judge the things of God.
We have allowed it.
And God is standing saying, how long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Selah. It says pause and think on that. That means you have to like, wait a minute, when did I judge? You didn't. You gave up your right, just like Adam did in the beginning. You gave up your birthright of having dominion, power, and authority over everything in the earth, on the earth, beneath the earth, above the earth. Verse 3, do justice. Since you've given up your authority, how can you do this declaration here in verse 3? How can you do justice to the weak and the poor and the fatherless? That's why we got that's why we got a welfare system. That's why we on food stamps. Okay, you think I'm talking about, in the scripture it talks about that we're going to receive the mark of the beast in order to be able to buy and to sell and to do commerce and trade. There's a website that's talking now about the state of Wyoming, that they're putting a computer chip in under the skin of all the people that's on welfare in that state that's going for a new that's going for new benefits. And they really have no choice. But that's just another way. There's a book that kind of explains what I'm talking about. It's called Capital F Period Capital FADNA. F Period A Period D Period N Period A Period, which stands for Fallen Angels DNA. And it talks about the Nephilims. It's written by an author here in the City of Glory, City of Gary, Indiana. He's done some wonderful research. Got a lot of wonderful facts and stuff in there that's going to challenge those of you that live in a box. But the information is sound. And we believe in studying to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, but rightly or righteously dividing the word of truth. Guess what, men and women of God, the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, the basic instruction before leaving earth, is not the only source of information that God allows us to use as reference material. Otherwise, you need to throw away all of your, dictionaries and your thesauruses and all of the other, how many of us go on the computer and do quick research on things? Men and women of God, what I'm saying to you is you need to pray about everything that you read and everything that you hear, but you need to continue to study and not be stagnant and stuck in the thought pattern that you may be stuck in. We've always talked about that many of us have developed habits. And not only the scriptures, but different studies show that most of our habits was formed before we reached the age of 10. So some of the thoughts, the patterns, the things, and the way we look at things are things that we learned and are sticking with. But we learned them before we got to the age of 10. And if we have not changed that behavior, changed that pattern, we could be, as in my case, 59 years old and still having a 10-year-old mentality about don't sweep my feet with a broom. Give me the broom so I can spit on it or throw some salt or whatever ridiculous item we have that because of a superstition. And my point is, and don't get me wrong, is we've learned those behaviors. And we've not done anything in many cases to change those behaviors. It's also said that you have to, in order to change a behavior, you have to change it with a new behavior at least for 21 times, which is three, the number three, which is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's also seven, which is perfection. And then since God is dimensional. And so men and women of God, the other thing that I was sharing with you that's right here, it says, deliver the poor and needy, rescue them out of the hand of the wicked. I see everything that I'm talking about is relevant to everyday life. How can you deliver them out of the hand of the wicked when the system is designed to keep them in iniquity? Moving right along. Verse 5, it says, the magistrate and judges know not. Neither will they understand. They walk on in the darkness of complacent satisfaction. How can they know when they've not been trained in that arena? They've been trained in the law of man. They're experts in the law of man. They are not experts in the laws of God. That is supposed to be our expertise. Because the scriptures say that we are kings and priests unto our God. We are the ones that are supposed to be judging. We are to delegate, if anything, to godly folks. Okay, you don't believe me? Okay, if you go to Acts, the book of Acts, any book, pick a book, pick a chapter. But I know in chapter 6, what they did was because some folks got complaining, they went in and they talking to the other 70 followers that were great in following the word of Christ. They said, pick out from among you seven. Then we go back to that perfection again. And they had to be righteous in an undeniable way. It's Acts 6, chapter verse 1 through 8. And that was the criteria that they had to live under. They had to, in order to be chosen. And they were the first ones that the apostles laid hands on. And that's a whole nother story that we get into later on. Because that was the first act that they did in the laying on of hands, which means those were the first people that they gave authority to. And if they gave them authority, as you can see, one of those deacons, because that is the office of the deacon, one of those deacons is the only person that's doing what we're talking about that God is doing in this first scripture here. Jesus himself stood and gave this man a standing ovation, because when he was getting killed as a martyr, he was getting stoned. He said the same thing that Jesus said. And Jesus was so overtaken that he, you know, the scripture says he sits at the right hand of the Father, which implies that the Father is always sitting. If he is sitting and Jesus is sitting, whispering or interceding on our behalf, but here God is standing because he's so serious about what he's talking about. Jesus was serious and he stood and gave Stephen a standing ovation. One that was anointed and had hands laid on by the apostles, one that was appointed by the apostles. While we at it, I have to go there. In Timothy, it talks about it's great to be desiring the office of bishop.
Please. We're not going to go there right now, but guess what? They were appointed by the apostles. Their hands were laid on them by the apostles. I'm just saying.
Like, don't
verse 6. continuing in verse 5. It says, the magistrate and judges know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in the darkness of complacent satisfaction. All the foundations of the earth, which is the fundamental principles upon which rests the administration of justice, are shaken. Men, women of God, I did not write this. This was written way before my 59 years. But God has placed in my infinite, in my finite consciousness what it means so that we can share it with you. Now, listen to this. All of the foundations are shaking. I mean, this earth that's designed by God, don't never miss a turn, is shaking. Because we're not doing what God gave us the authority and the mandate to do. The earth itself is tilted. And it ain't running like it's supposed to because we're not doing what we're designed to do. Here's the declaration, men and women of God, that you need to know. I say it, which is Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God talking. I say it. Ye are God with a little G. Now, if God said it, how can anybody else say any different? It says here in the Amplified, I say ye are God since you judge on my behalf as my representatives. Indeed, all of you are children of the Most High. Okay, you don't believe me? Turn to John, the 10th chapter, verse 34 through 36, for your and review that on your own leisure, as well as Romans, the 13th chapter, and verse 1. But because we're not doing what we're supposed to, verse 7 says, we shall die as men, not as gods. And we will fall as one of the princes. He said that we are kings and priests unto our God. So who is the prince? Who have you heard of talked about as a prince in the Bible? Only one person that I know of. He used to be the covering cherub. And all of those that follow him have been called sons of his, which make them princes. I don't want to be no prince, do you? Moving right along. Then the final declaration is, and I didn't write this either. Verse 8 said, arise, O God. Big G. God is giving an exclamation to you. This is the one instance where he's giving you equal status. Now, folks ain't going to agree with that, but he's giving you equal status and authority. He said, arise, O God, and judge the earth, for to you belong all the nations. He has told our forefather, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, later known as Israel, that he was going to give all nations unto them. So he's talking to us, men and women of God. So, as we're talking about current events, because it's time for some prayer, and we're going to let the man of God talk about some things. But since we're talking about judging, everybody is so upset about this Trayvon Martin verdict. And this is what I need to say to you as men and women of God, because I've heard preachers, you know, is having rallies and this and that, and wearing hoodies in the pulpit and got everybody wearing hoodies, supporting that the verdict and the justice system was all messed up. Well, I just read to you why the justice system is all messed up. Are you confused? Why are you confused? But here's the real deal. He told us to love our neighbor. He told us that we must forgive. And the same judicial system that freed O.J.
Yeah.
And others.
Michael Jackson.
Kobe Bryant. Tiger Woods. The same judge. Now, the system is not over. There's still other means of justice that can be given in this trial. But we done lost our minds. We act like God ain't even in this thing.
Moving right along.
In the city of Gary and also in the city of Chicago, there's been an alarming number of murders, black-on-black murders. But everybody talking about Trayvon. And because this is akin to a hate crime. But do we hate ourselves so much that we kill our brothers and our cousins and our friends? A guy in the newspaper got sentenced the other day. He killed a woman that owed him $68. That's how much life is worth. Or 11, and we're numb, you know. That doesn't even faze us because we read about dope dealers and rapists, you know. Oh, what else is in the news? The guy that kidnapped three women and held them for 11 years and had babies by them, then killed their had miscarriages and beat them. Now he's saying that everything was consensual and we're like shocked. Like, oh, I can't believe this is happening. But we've not been paying attention. The kids have been listening to various kinds of music. It started back in the days where they was listening to hard rock. And then it graduated to hip hop. And then you put a combination of the both of them, and then folks just lose their mind about gun control and everything else. But the guy that shot up in New Jersey or Connecticut, his mother was the registered owner of the weapon. But what was she doing with an assault weapon? She used to take her child to the range and didn't think that one day he was going to decide to use that weapon. Men and women of God, what I'm saying to you is we really need to pay attention to the things that's going on around us. And we've been giving you scriptures. We've been talking about different things. We've been praying as best we know how to get you to understand that it's time to tell folks the kingdom of God is at hand. It's time to not waver on your belief. It's time to think outside the box. It's time to, if you're a preacher, if you go to church, come from around these four walls. Get out in the street. You got folks at home. I prayed, and we were so blessed. We had murder in our family a week and a half ago. And there was going to be a retaliation, you know, and that's just the way it is. You know, folks is about, I'm going to get you back. And we have to do some tall praying and ask others to pray with us that there would be no retaliation. And by the grace of God, 20 young folks at the funeral, young people, came to Christ. And now that's something to be shouted about. Hallelujah! That's the stuff that you need to be shouting about. That's what needs to be shouted from the rafters. So, men and women of God, it's time for us to do some praying. The prophet undertook all this time. But he got some stuff to share with you. Thank you for listening to me. I hope you didn't think I was rambling, but I pray that you really got into those scriptures and started looking at some things, because when we lean to our own understanding, we in trouble. We really have to begin to study. We really need to begin to, and last week I shared with you, get outside the house. Walk down the street, a couple of blocks in your neighborhood. See, we got all these fancy cars and SUVs and everything, you know. You know, you got, it used to be that there's all kinds of fruit trees and grapevines and stuff in your neighborhood. You know what? And some of them are still there. All them woods and stuff, there's nobody going over in there. You're going to find a mulberry bush. Remember them mulberries? They're some good fruits. They start out yellow, then they get pink, then they get red, then they get purple. And that's when they're good. They just fall all out off the tree. Just get you a sheet and shake the limbs, and all them purple mulberries will fall down. You're talking about some good eating. But what I'm saying, men and women of God, is get back into the stuff that made us a great nation. You know, we share with you. We got locks on our doors. We got bars on our windows. We got alarm systems that's connected to the fire department, the hospital. You know, we done got so numb to everything that's around us that all we do is just conform. And I just refuse to conform. I'm a nonconformist. I want to do it the way God say do it. And so I'm going to rock the boat just a wee little bit. But it's going to be according to the word of God. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you flat out, I am a conformist. I'm going to tell you why I say that. Because the Bible says that we are conformed to the image of God's Son. Ha ha! That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. See, I'm made in the image of God, in the likeness of God, so I'm a conformist. I'm conformed to the image of the Son of God.
Yeah.
I'm not making you look bad. No, not at all. Because I do understand, I cannot conform to this world, but I am transformed by the renewing of my mind, that I may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God.
You said that too fast,
and
somebody missed
it. Oh, no, I'm going to say it again. I said, I may be conformed to the image of the Son of God, but I do not conform to this world or this world system. But I am transformed because when I got conformed to the image of the Son, what happened was I got transformed because my mind got renewed. So I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind, that I may prove. I'm proving God. Everybody talk about, we don't find science proof. No, you don't have to find science proof God. It's all kind of science that prove God. You looking at science that prove God. Because I prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
You want to talk about that a little bit, the good, acceptable, and perfect?
Well, let me go ahead. Let me tell you what about Romans 12, chapter verse 1 and 2, really quick. That's the good will of God, the acceptable will, and the perfect will of God. The three wills of God. Wow. Well, I thought God only had one will. Well, you thought you only had one mind, but that's another conversation. So, I want you to understand we're going to prove the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Okay, the acceptable will of God, we call that the permissive will of God. That's what we call it. We call that the permissive will of God. That's things that God just let happen. It might not exactly be what he has planned out for you, but he'll allow it to go on because it will eventually prove the scripture that says, which is Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. So that is his acceptable or his permissive will, his good will. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. Every, not some, not a few, not partially, but every, meaning all, good and perfect gift. Every good and perfect gift comes.
Did I say
some?
Is there a reference to that, like Genesis 1 or something?
Oh, yeah, because he said everything he made was good.
Ooh.
He said it, and very good. So, yeah, so God said it was good. And we know that every good and perfect gift comes from God. So if it's good, it comes from God. Children, the Bible says, are a gift from God, which means they are good and perfect. My God. See, I'm trying to help you think about your children a little different than what you think. Stop calling them little devils and heathens and demons. Stop saying that foolishness that you say about your children. You let your children know that they are good. They have a good and perfect will of God because they are good and perfect. They're gifts from God. So every gift from God is good and perfect, which means children are good and perfect. It is we, the adults, who corrupt them and cause them to be not good and not perfect. My God. So if you talk about perfecting, see, Ephesians chapter 4 talks about the fact that apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers were placed in the earth realm for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building or the edifying of the body of Christ, which is the church. So what I'm trying to tell you is the only way your children come away from being good and perfect is that you don't perfect them. Anyway, so we talk about, you know, so many things. We talk about so many things. So in all of this that we're talking about, I'm going to take us to one last major set of scriptures. We're going to work this thing out. And God is going to get his glory as usual. I was reading the prophets today. Because, you know, we're supposed to read the law and the prophets. We're supposed to know the law and the prophets. Thank you. And I was reading the prophets today, particularly the prophet Amos. And I noticed in chapter 4, I'm looking at verse 8 and verse 9 and verse 10 and verse 11. Those four verses end in the same word, literally. They end with the same word. They end with the word, yet. You have not returned to me. Why is that significant, prophet? We've been talking about all these issues, all these world events. Listen, there are, by last count, over 1 billion, that's billion with a B, Catholics on earth. And one person is supposed to be the icon. Now, let me give you one little quick 5 seconds. An icon is a symbol, okay? It's a symbol. It's also, the word icon is also synonymous with the word deity or God. Uh-oh. So the Pope is considered a religious icon, which means he's considered a deity. So if the Pope is considered a God, but God himself, the Almighty, has said himself that we, human beings, are God. John 10:34, Jesus said, your law don't say, I have said you are God. Uh-oh. So, we're considered God, yet Catholics only consider the Pope the person who hears from God because he's considered the religious God of Catholicism. Catholicism is the primary reason most people in America don't
out of the Sabbath. But there's another, that's another conversation. Anyway, what I'm trying to get to is that we're so busy trying to get back to the basics of this world system, the basis of worldliness, that we have not returned to the one key factor in our success, in our destined success, which is we have not returned to God. John the Baptist, who, if you read the Bible, was the reincarnation of Elijah the prophet, always started his conversations like this: repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or is nigh thee, or near thee. Why is all of this important? Because we are in a time, literally, at this very moment, we are in the time that we have to return to God. We have to return to godly principles. We have to be the judges and the magistrates in the earth realm. Because if we don't, well, you've read the book. You see what happens. All the foolishness that's going on. Look, if you read history, I'm a history buff. Okay, I'm a history buff. There are certain what some people consider meaningless facts. I have access to these things in my brain. So, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Lord, what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the churches. So, churches, hear. Open now your ears that you may hear one of the things out of the law of God. Listen. If you know anything about your history, and I'm not just talking about religious history, I'm talking about world history. If you know anything about world history, you'll find that at the pinnacle of every major society or empire on the planet Earth, by the time they were getting ready to end, what happened was debauchery had taken over. What I mean by that is sexual perversion, immorality, and all of the things that are paganistic, ritualistic attitudes. All of these things are in America right now. You don't believe me? It's more beneficial for you to be gay than it is for you to be white or black or any other ethnicity. It's more important. If you speak out against gay people, gets you arrested these days. Federal funding gets cut off if you start talking about gay people. Sexual immorality. Let's keep moving. What's the most important thing on television right now? So-called reality television. You get to peer into the lives of people that I personally don't care about. Not that I don't care about their welfare, because I would love to meet these people so that I can confess Christ to them and they can confess Christ. But the problem is we're so busy trying to get in the middle of the drama in these people's lives that we forget about the own drama, the drama in our own lives, and we still ain't returning to God because we're too busy trying to return to the Housewives of Atlanta. We're too busy trying to return to Love and Hip Hop. We're too busy trying to return to all these reality shows. We're trying to keep up with the Kardashians. All this foolishness. Oprah's going to be mad at MegaFest. Really? The woman who openly confessed that she walked away from God because she could not understand the jealousy of God. God created you. He has the right to be jealous of you, jealous over you. See, Oprah began to think that God was jealous of her. And that was her leaning to her own understanding. But the understanding of God is that God is not jealous of you. He's jealous over you. Uh-oh. Moving on. So what I'm trying to say is that you Oprah, who is a confessed pagan, is hosting an event at what is considered by many American religious people as the biggest Christian event of the year. And see, and Bishop Okay, let's move past that. She will be instructing people in different areas. We talk about, oh my God, have you seen Iyama fixed my life? Iyama is not a believer. She is what's called a spiritualist, which is a witch. I'm gonna be a little prophetic right here. She's a witch. These people do not confess Christ. So guess who they are? Wait. Which means most of us may have missed it.
Mm-hmm.
Because what it is that we're so busy, we're so busy falling for the tricks and the traps of the enemy and don't even realize because the Bible says that even the very elect will be fooled. We're so busy falling for the traps and tricks of the enemy that we don't even understand that most of us who are waiting on this big personality called the Antichrist is already here. The Bible says that the spirit of the Antichrist is already in the earth. How is that possible, prophet? The Bible, I mean, we waiting on this ruler to come out of there. Oh, stop it. Let me finish this. If you are not for Christ, you're Antichrist. If you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are Antichrist. And I want to make sure that I'm saying that with as much articulation as possible because I need people to understand that we have fallen for the foolishness. We have fallen for the banana and the tailpipe. The Antichrist is already here. And y'all have fixed my life. No, Jesus fixed my life. Deliver me, O Lord, out of the hand of the enemy.
Yeah.
I'm gonna let Paul say this one quick thing. I'm gonna read these couple of scriptures so that we can really, really start to drive this point home.
Amen. Listen, we've been talking about apostles, prophets. We've been talking about the fivefold ministry. You know, people say, "Well, what's the big deal about apostles?" You know what? What you need to understand is who in their right mind would want to be an apostle. I mean, you know why? Listen, Pastor Loretta Hunter here in the city of Glory, she put a thing on Facebook the other day that was so ironic that I had to write it down because it had everything right there in place. What happened to the apostles? Every single one, except for one, died a horrible death. Matthew was slain in Ethiopia. Mark was dragged through the streets. Luke was hanged on an olive tree in Greece. John was in boiling oil and branded at the island of Patmos. Peter was crucified in Rome upside down. James, the lesser, from the pinnacle of temple, was beaten to death. Bartholomew was flogged alive. He was slain. He was beaten alive. Andrew was bound to a cross. He preached until he died. Jude was shot with arrows. Matthias was first stoned, then beheaded. Barnabas of the Gentiles was stoned to death at Salonera. And Paul, after various times of being tortured, was beheaded. So who in their right mind? See, if you talk about, I'm an apostle, such and such and such, and guess what? You're setting up yourself to be a martyr. So, you know what? That's why I ain't fearful of telling the truth. I already know what my fate is. Because, see, you're going to lie on me, you're going to talk about me, and you're going to assassinate me, whether it's verbally or seriously or natural, physical.
we are here to give you, and we all we're doing is planting and watering. This is the warfare hour. We're giving you weapons of warfare, men and women of God. These are weapons of warfare. So when we get a little serious about some stuff sometimes, that's why.
Amen, amen. Listen, not only apostles, but we're there right now want to be prophets. Jesus, and a lot, Jesus, whenever he criticized the Pharisees, one of the main things he said is, you killed the prophets.
Yep.
So not only were the apostles, but the prophets were murdered. Now, here's the ironic part, apostle. Here's the ironic part. The apostles and the prophets were murdered, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yet they were the foundations of the church.
Exactly.
Yet they are the foundations. So the foundation of the church built on the apostles and prophets. Evangelist, pastor, and teacher is wonderful. But the foundation of it all, apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. In other words, the chief apostle of the apostles. Even all the chiefs, even all the ones who call themselves chief apostles, whatever. Anyway, in the prophets in Amos, you know I'm trying not to stick with that. I ain't trying to stay there. I was reading, you know, we talking about verses 6, chapter 4, verses 6 through 9, right? Well, I'm going to have to end up reading 6 through 11 because it's crazy. Just because it's normal scripture. Anyway, let's move into it. Let's move into it. Amos, the fourth chapter, starting in verse 6. It says, I also gave you cleanness of teeth, I'm reading out of the Amplified, in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places. Yet you did not return to me, says the Lord. They're important. And also, I withheld the rain from you when there was yet 3 months to the harvest. I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece of ground was rained upon, and the piece upon which it did not rain withered. So the people of two or three cities wandered and staggered into one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Starting here, listen to the end of each verse. Yet you did not return to me, says the Lord. I smote you with blight from the poisonous east wind, and with mildew I lay waste the multitude of your gardens and your vineyards, your fig trees and your olive trees, the palmer worm in form of locust devoured, yet you did not return to me, says the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence, which I made epidemic in Egypt. Your young men I slew with the sword, and I took into exile your horses, and I made the stench of your camp come up into your nostrils. Yet you did not return to me, says the Lord. I have overthrown some among you as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And you were as a brand plucked out of the burning. Yet you did not return to me, says the Lord. Why is that important? Because there is a remedy. People of God, there's a remedy.
Hallelujah.
All of the foolishness that we're dealing with because we ain't returned to God. But there's famine in the land.
Yeah.
There's been droughts.
Yeah.
There's been floods.
Right now.
There have been overpowering tornadoes and whirlwinds and all this stuff. And super storms.
All the crops is rotting in the fields right now because of the floods. That means everything will be high over the next 3 months.
So all of this is happening right now.
Right now.
But there's
current event.
It's current event. But there's a remedy. I turn your attention. Wait, I'm going to preach the gospel in the Old Testament. I turn your attention to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Look. And I want to, I don't want to read it. I want to start at, yes, I'm reading out of the Amplified. I want to start at verse 11 and go from 11 to 14. Can I do that? I can do that. Thank you. The Bible says, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 11 through 14 in the Amplified, it reads, "Thus Solomon finished the Lord's house," this is important, "and the king's house, all that he had planned to do in the Lord's house and his own house, he accomplished successfully. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, 'I have heard your prayer.'" My God, the king intercedes. The king prayed. Oh, that's important. That's important. "I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven so no rain falls." Wait, what was it talking about, rain? And the droughts and stuff over the Amos? What was some of the, "so no rain falls, or if I command locusts, the palmer worm, to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people." I'm trying to confirm some things for you. I'm being a little prophetic here. I'm trying to confirm something for you. If I do all this, I do all this, but if my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face." I know. I want you to notice the difference from the King James and the Amplified. First, I'm going to tell you the King James. "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, yeah, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." Now listen. "If my people who are called by my name," in the Amplified version, it still says, "shall humble themselves, pray, seek, crave, and require of necessity my face." I'm going to tell you something in a minute about that.
Mm-hmm.
"And turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven." In other words, from heaven, from his throne in heaven, he's going to hear us down here. "Forgive their sin and heal their land." People of God, why is that important? I'm going to tell you why that's important. First off, we ain't returned to God. Okay, I gotta give you something in a little bit of time. We have not returned to God because we are so busy with trying to hustle, trying to make a dollar, and trying to do this, and trying to get famous and celebrity, and we're trying to get known. We're trying to do all these things to appease this world system. We're trying to do so many things to make sure that people are happy. We're trying to do so many things to make sure that other folks get what they're going to get. We're going to get what we're going to get. I got to get mine. You got to get yours. You just do you. I'm going to do me. All this other foolish stuff. We're looking out for ourselves when God never designed humanity to look out for themselves individually. He made us in his image and his likeness. Why is that important? Because in his image and his likeness, there is fellowship. The very essence of God is fellowship, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So why is it important that the people of God got to come to him and pray and seek his face, require his face as a necessity? Why? Because if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the very thing that you are out here trying to hustle for will automatically become yours. What a fellow. gonna live. How much gonna stay home? I'm gonna get a car. I'm gonna get a gas. All that stuff. He already had, already knows that you have need of these things before you ask. That's the word. But seek first the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. There is no mention of money in there. Mm. See, it's in our will, which is why you have to be conformed to the image of the Son of God, who preached that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven. You have to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. In other words, die daily, become transformed, a transformed creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old man's got to die. But what I'm trying to tell you is all this money-hungry evil that you're walking in right now, all this celebrity status that you want right now, all this foolishness that you live in right now, can you please understand that the word of God is anti-celebrity, who is the greatest in the kingdom of God, but he that serves. So if there's an understanding of anything, if my people, says God, that is every single one of us, if my people, if you called by God, if you're chosen by God to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if God calls you to be reconciled unto himself, because he called me, I didn't choose God, God chose me. Because in my humanity, I am a wretched creature, oh wretched man that I am. Here's your remedy. Fall to your face. Pray. Seek God. Seek God. Require God. Need God. Need him. And then you'll understand the joy in these words. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. You'll understand the joy in those words. God gonna keep you from falling. To keep you from falling back into sin, falling back into unrighteousness, falling into wickedness. He'll keep you. He that keeps Israel neither sleeps nor slumber, so he got you. He don't sleep. The reason he don't sleep is so that you can, because he got you. The remedy is God. You want to find true fulfillment, true happiness? It ain't in these celebrity, quote-unquote, reality shows. It's in God. So I say to you, that benediction is how we end our weekly broadcast every Thursday. The remedy is God. So now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, the only wise God, our Savior, be majesty, glory, dominion, and power, both now and forever. And we say, God bless you in Jesus' name.